Welcome to the Thoughts from the Couch podcast. I'm anxiety treatment expert and licensed mental health counselor, Justine Carino. I'm here to help you understand the root of your anxiety so you can create new habits that actually stick. Toxic behavior patterns, dysfunctional relationships, and childhood family trauma are all linked to the anxiety you experience. And that's exactly what we dive into on this podcast. Join me as I guide you through flipping the script on your negative thoughts, setting healthy boundaries in your relationships, and cultivating a self-care practice that's as unique as you are. From my couch to yours, let's create your path to peace. Hello, and welcome to another episode from the Thoughts from the Couch podcast. I am your host, psychotherapist, and anxiety treatment specialist, Justine Carino. I am so glad that you found yourself tuning in today with me. Today is going to be another solo episode where I'm going to deep dive into what a people pleaser is, how people become people pleasers. There's some aspects there. And the five different types of people pleasers that I have come across in my own work as a therapist. Now, I realize that I do a lot of talking in some of these podcast episodes or when I'm a guest on other people's podcasts. I talk about people pleasing in my content online and social media and blogs. And I don't think I really took the time out on my podcast to explain to you what exactly a people pleaser is. So I wanted to try and define that for you guys today. So we're going to take some time to do that. So let's get started. You might ask, what is a people pleaser? We hear this term a lot. And I want to say it's not a bad thing, right? I talk a lot about it as something negative, but I want you to know you're probably a really awesome person who's really well-liked, has a lot of friends, has a lot of good relationships, is pretty successful if you're someone that identifies as a people pleaser. So I don't want you to be ashamed of this. Little self-disclosure, I have been a people pleaser most of my life, and I'm working on this trait. But people pleasing isn't something so bad. Actually, we were programmed this way. You know, when we were cave people hundreds of years ago, we had to be liked by other cave people because if we could form community and groups, we were more likely to survive. We would share knowledge. We would protect each other. If we had to fight off a saber-toothed tiger, we weren't doing it alone. We were doing it with our friends. Okay, so people-pleasing is something really good. It helps us stay connected. What I'm going to talk about are some of the people-pleasing traits that end up making people feel really burnt out, anxious, and stressed. So I want you to remember that. Okay, so a people pleaser is someone that has an emotional need to help others. This is a wonderful trait to have because it yields successful friendships and relationships, but at the same time, it can be very exhausting and lead to feelings of stress, burnout, exhaustion, and mental health issues like anxiety disorders. It can also lead to physical issues in a medical sense, because the high levels of stress leave you more vulnerable to physical illnesses. So chronic stress as a result of people pleasing and not having many boundaries at work or home life make you vulnerable to having stomach issues, gastro issues, any illness that's coming along your way. Your kids are bringing it home from preschool or school and you get it pretty easily because your immune system is suppressed because of all the stress that's going on in your life. So we really want to work on people pleasing. So how does people pleasing lead to high anxiety in people? Well, people pleasers tend to say yes way too often. And so they're committing themselves to things that they don't really want to do and maybe don't have time for. There's a fear of what would happen if you said no. And this leads to stress and anxiety because you end up taking on too much emotionally and physically. Also, everyone else's needs and wants start to come before your own. And you get lost in other people and tend to forget about yourself. And you forget that you need to take care of yourself in many ways to keep functioning in this world. And another big part of people pleasing are the shoulds that come up. And I talk about shoulds a lot. So shoulds are these, I should be doing this or I shouldn't do that statements that we have subconsciously in our brains. And these shoulds often lead to guilt and anxiety. So shoulds and should nots are what we call cognitive distortions. Another way of saying thinking traps. Another way of saying that our thinking can be irrational at times. So shoulds and should nots are unwritten rules that we make up in our own heads that are completely irrational at times. Some examples for a people pleaser might look like, I should make everyone happy all of the time. I should not ever get anyone mad or upset with me. Everyone should like me. Right? So if we really put that on paper or say it out loud, we know it's unreasonable, unrealistic, and it's just not, it's not going to happen. Not everyone's going to like you no matter what you do. And most of the time it's about them, not really about you, right? So you set up this standard and then you feel like you're failing if you do disappoint someone or if someone doesn't like you or someone doesn't include you. So that can be stressful to really attach to these shoulds. And in therapy and coaching, you want to unpack, where are my shoulds? And what do I tend to have a should feeling about? So all of that leads to higher levels of stress and anxiety from a people pleaser. But you're probably wondering how you become a people pleaser. So people become people pleasers in a variety of ways. First, I'm thinking of family dynamics. So how you were raised and the roles you played in your family, right? So if you were the peacekeeper of the family, if you were the good kid, the quiet kid, I'm going to go into my five types of people pleasers later that usually show up in your family that raised you. So family dynamics can be a big part of this. But I'm going to backtrack a little bit. So first and foremost, people pleasing is related to a deep subconscious fear of abandonment. We believe that if we say no or put our needs first, we will be abandoned by other people. We even fear this with people we just met. Right? All of a sudden, we feel a sense of responsibility and accountability to someone we just met. Maybe they're an acquaintance. Maybe we're not even that close to them. But we still feel this responsibility as a people pleaser to make other people happy with us, right? You know you're a people pleaser if you are afraid to correct someone when they call you by the wrong name, right? How many of you, like, raise your hand wherever you are, like, people have called you the wrong name, but you don't correct them because you don't want to make them uncomfortable about it. So you're uncomfortable with being called the wrong name because you don't want them to be corrected by you and feel badly. Oh my God, I feel so stupid. I've been calling you the wrong name. So you go through life letting this one person call you the wrong name. I have heard this. Listen, one time this happened to me. I worked at a psych hospital, and one of the social workers kept calling me Gretchen. And at the time, I was young. I was in grad school trying to become a therapist. And I was so intimidated by some of the people I worked with, and I wanted to please everybody. And obviously, there's a hierarchy at the hospital, and I was on the low man on the totem pole. So this higher up was calling me Gretchen. And I was too shy and people pleasing to tell her that is not my name. So the whole time that I worked there, she called me Gretchen, and that's it. So I like to say, as a 30-something-year-old, I would correct somebody now. But as a 21-year-old, I couldn't. I felt too badly telling this person she's been calling me the wrong name for so long.
Are you someone who struggles with anxiety and has been searching for a natural product to help you feel some relief? Well, I have an idea for you. Have you heard of Become? Become is a natural supplement designed by female nutritional scientists that was created to help you feel relief from your anxiety symptoms. The ingredients were selected based on common deficiencies linked to anxiety disorders to further enhance overall wellness, with a focus on the gut-brain connection in supporting mental well-being. The formulation is informed by an extensive literature review and research study that revealed 93% of participants experienced a reduction in the severity of anxiety symptoms within the first week. Upon completing the trial, there was an average of 41% symptom reduction across all trial participants. As one of my listeners, you will receive 20% off your first order by entering code Justine20 at checkout. The link to order is in my show notes.
So this fear of abandonment that we have comes from life experiences. Things that happen to us in our lives that lead to abandonment or resembled an abandonment or maybe made us feel like there was a threat of an abandonment, right? So in our subconscious, we don't always interpret things accurately. We do have distortions, right? So I'm not saying everyone who had a parent walk out on them has people-pleasing traits. And it may not need to be that drastic of saying, oh, both my parents abandoned me, or my father left, or my mother left. Not physically, it's not always physically someone leaving your life. It could be someone abandoning you emotionally, someone giving you the silent treatment, someone being mean to you if you try to assert yourself, right? So it's a perceived abandonment as well that can lead to people-pleasing. So yes, a huge part of people-pleasing and fear of abandonment can come from our family. And let me explain this a little bit. Our families work as a system. We all function together, but we have separate roles. And these roles emerged over time without anyone even really knowing that it was happening. These roles just fell into place. So for some people, people-pleasing was a survival skill in their family. They needed to please everyone to keep the homeostasis in the family for some reason, to keep some kind of status quo, right? So there was something going on in this family, and you took on the role of keeping the peace with everyone, keeping everyone happy all the time. Maybe you're the middle child. Middle child tends to put their needs aside to, you know, keep the baby, and keep the oldest happy and get the attention off me. I don't have needs. I'm just going to blend in with this family. People pleasers can often identify as the good girl, the quiet one, the golden child, peacemaker, mediator. Hint, these are the five different types they come across. But you've probably had a role like this in your family. And then growing up as a teenager, you had it in your friend group. And as an adult, you probably still carry out this role in so many ways. Maybe in the family you created with your partner, maybe in the workplace, maybe you still hold this role in your family, even though you're all grown up and as adults, we get attached to roles. And these roles have emerged on purpose. So I'm going to give you an example. Let's say you had a parent with a mental illness or drug or alcohol problem, or maybe they were extremely strict, or they often used corporal punishment. You felt as though you had to say yes. Otherwise, the worst case scenario would happen. Maybe you saw your sibling get the worst and you didn't want that to be you. So you just became the kid that said yes to everything. I'll do everything to please you. Maybe it made you the easy kid, and that was nice being the easy kid. You saw what happened to the problem child in the family. Maybe the family was dysfunctional in some way and you didn't want to add to the chaos. You sucked up your own needs because there really wasn't room to have your needs met. So you went along with it. I bet you have a sibling that was some kind of rebel or fuck up in some aspect. Maybe you saw your parents react to that sibling and then you took on the role of the good kid. And you're like, let me be the good kid. I make everyone happy when there's chaos going on around me. So look at me over here doing well so you don't have to look at each other and have as much tension, right? So lots to think about. Is that you? Is this relatable for you? So maybe there was an abandonment, a direct one, right? A parent abandoned you for drugs or alcohol. They had a mental illness, so they're emotionally abandoning you and they couldn't take care of you the way you needed. Maybe they actually left. There was a divorce. Maybe there's a cutoff. So then you subconsciously created this belief that maybe you're too much to handle and that's why the parent left, or that's why the parent's using. So then you thought, I better not put my needs first again. It was too much for them to handle. And I can't handle being abandoned again. So I will always put others first now. So there emerges this people-pleasing part of you to help you feel love and feel secure. Okay. Again, a lot of this could have been your own distortions. And if we brought your family into the room, they might be like, what are you talking about? You didn't need to be that way. But you developed that over time. Okay. Maybe the abandonment was that indirect type of silent treatment. Silence can sometimes be more painful than yelling, and silent treatment can be emotionally abusive at times. You know, the parent is physically there, but purposely ignoring you and making you feel small. They withdraw from you to punish you somehow, and that's not healthy for anyone, and that is a form of abandonment too. Also, maybe you couldn't put your needs first or be assertive because you were met with such guilt. Like maybe a parent or sibling tortured you with their guilt trips, or they were highly reactive when you wanted to do something your way and assert your needs. And this was just too much to handle. So you thought to yourself, I got to avoid that reaction. So I'm just always going to do what they say and put my needs aside.
Hey, did you know that there are 5 different types of people pleasers? Throughout my over 10 years of experience as a licensed mental health counselor, I have noticed 5 different types of people-pleasing archetypes based on how you were raised, your life experiences, your early childhood relationships, and trauma. I've created a very simple 2-minute quiz to help you discover which type of people-pleaser you are, and you can get custom feedback within a minute so you can start implementing real changes in your relationships and in your life to reduce your anxiety and people-pleasing tendencies today. Go check it out. You can find the link in my show notes. Now let's get back to the show. There's also another aspect, which could be messaging from our family, messaging culturally, religiously, about morals, what it needs to take to be a good person. You need to be self-sacrificing. You have to make sure everyone is taken care of and happy. If you're a female, we've been really subconsciously taught that we do put everyone's needs before our own. We probably saw our mothers and grandmothers do this. So a lot of it can be passed down from generation to generation. And now in your adult life, you're like, ooh, this is not working for me anymore. I am burnt out and exhausted. Okay. So how does people pleasing, though, impact your adult life? Well, you're overcommitted, probably. You have a deep need to be loved and accepted, and you might act in ways to reassure love and acceptance in your life. So maybe you find yourself over-apologizing. Maybe you're a little clingy in relationships. Maybe you have a hard time separating in a fight when someone needs space. Maybe you have a hard time taking space when your partner asks for it. You probably have a hard time setting boundaries because you have a hard time saying no. People-pleasers tend to avoid conflict and they're very passive communicators. You find yourself resentful of others because you've committed to something that you really don't want to do, but you don't know how to say no. And you tend to have moody or highly irritable outbursts, right? That you later regret. Maybe you find yourself losing it on your kids with a small trigger, or losing it with your husband or your partner with a small trigger. So you tend to be very reactive, right? And that shows us that the people pleasing is not really working for you anymore. Okay, so now that you have that background, you're probably like, what are these 5 types of people pleasers? And I'm going to go into them now. Okay, so just want you to know, like, this isn't written in stone. This is not in the DSM. This is not a diagnosis. These are just people pleasing archetypes that I have come across in my private practice as a psychotherapist working with families and couples and young adults. Okay, so the first type I've noticed is the peacekeeper. So if you are the peacekeeper, you tend to put your own needs aside in order to keep the peace in your family, keep the peace in the group of friends or in the workplace or in your relationship. And you tend to absorb all of the issues around you. You smile and nod while you're really feeling stressed inside about the drama around you. When you're asked to do something that you don't want to do, you find yourself doing it anyway. And then you feel a great amount of resentment after. And you find yourself defending both sides of an argument. You're probably a very neutral party, but you defend both sides and stay neutral even though you know one side is right. You are just too afraid to admit it or speak up because you don't want to be pulled in the middle. Okay? And you wish you could side with one person, but you're kind of chicken to do it. And you're probably a chronic apologizer. You apologize first or you over-apologize at times. So as the peacekeeper, you just want everyone to agree and get along. Although you will never and can never accomplish that, you know, having everyone get along all the time, especially if you have children at home that like to fight with each other, but there are tools and tips that can shift your mind frame to keeping the peace inside yourself instead of the worry and anxiety that can come when you're all about keeping the peace for everyone else. So you're probably like, what are these tools and tips? Well, you got to work with me and I'll help you learn them. I have ways to work with me. If you're a New York resident, I can see you virtually for therapy or in person. I offer anxiety coaching programs that are one-to-one for people outside of New York State.
And I also have my Path to Peace, which is my group program for ambitious, people-pleasing, working moms that are trying to do it all the time and are extremely burnt out. So as an anxiety treatment specialist, I always want to give you guys resources and tools that can help you manage your anxiety better. Well, I am so excited to introduce you to a new product that I think is going to be amazing for decreasing your stress levels and helping you sleep better. I want you to meet Moonbird, the world's first handheld breathing coach. I use Moonbird for myself, I tell my clients in my private practice about it, and now I want you to know about it as well. Moonbird is a small device that guides controlled breathing to stimulate the relaxation response in your nervous system when you're feeling anxious and stressed. By placing your thumb on the sensor, Moonbird opens and closes its wings, mimicking your in and out breathing. The sensor allows Moonbird to adjust its tempo to what you need to do specifically to relax. And it also connects you to an app that tracks your progress. Just 10 minutes of slow-paced breathing can greatly reduce stress levels and anxiety levels. Because I love this product so much, my listeners are getting $20 off their first purchase with code Justine20 at checkout. The link to purchase Moonbird is in the show notes. Okay, so number two, the quiet one. So if you're the quiet one, you rarely speak up to others. It's very difficult for you to express your emotions. Conflict is extremely scary. And if you're forced to express yourself, you have a great amount of anxiety about it. Like, you will avoid expressing your emotions as much as you can. But if you have no choice, like, you get sick to your stomach, you're sweating, you can't sleep the night before. The quiet one also finds it easier to stay quiet and listen to what other people are saying and just absorb it. And you also feel resentment towards others because you feel as if you can't voice your own opinions ever. So remaining quiet may seem safe and smart, but in reality, you're passively giving permission for others to take advantage of you. Boundaries may seem pretty terrifying, but speaking your truth may also feel unreachable, but you can do it. Anyone can do it. Anyone can learn how to say no. Anyone can learn how to set boundaries. Is it easy? No fucking way, right? It is not easy to set boundaries. It takes time. A lot of my therapy sessions are about helping people learn how to set boundaries. People don't even know their boundaries are getting crossed at times, and they need someone to point it out to them and say, wow, that they really crossed your boundaries here. So you can learn how to do it. You just need some support on how to do it. Okay. Number three, the third type of people pleaser is the golden child. So the golden child, you do everything in your power to show up perfectly in every setting. Right? In your family, you knew like you were the favorite child. You're an overachiever. You conform to what others want and need of you in order to try and make everyone happy. And this probably functioned as a way to like get attention off the other people in your family. Like, you knew your parents were stressed out about one child. So you're like, I'll be the best at everything to please them. And that's when I see them smile. They're happy with all my A's and that I'm the captain of the lacrosse team and this, that, and the other. As the golden child, you do what you're told or asked to do, even when you really don't want to, and you do it with a big smile on your face because you don't want anyone to see that you're hating what you're doing because you're the golden child. So although being perfect gives you a false sense of control, a lot of perfectionism is about wanting control and defending ourselves from shame. It actually gives your control away. And being in the role of the golden child while growing up can lead to stress, burnout, and even a loss of identity as an adult. You don't even know who you are. You've just conformed to everyone around you. And so by now, it's probably left you feeling resentful and adding more stress to your life as a busy working mom. Okay, number four is similar, but a little different. This is the good girl. And so you've probably heard, you're such a good girl. Like, you heard that so often growing up. Such a pleasure to have in class. So easy. But good and compliant, they don't mean the same things, right? The following probably resonates with you. If you were the good girl, you always strived to be really respectful. You wanted to be seen as someone really good. And has good morals and values. Your first priority was to be well behaved in any setting, school, work, friends. again, there's some perfection in here. You strive for perfectionism when it comes to relationships, career, or motherhood. Like, I will be the best mother. I will be the best worker. I will be the best wife. I will be the best friend. Everything you have to do is just perfect, perfect, perfect. You sign up for 1,000 things and you're the president for each one of those things, right? No rule can ever be broken. And you feel extremely guilty when you hurt your children's feelings or your partner's feelings or anyone's feelings for that matter. And then you over apologize. So although like being respectful goes a long way and it's great, it's pertinent to use your voice and speak up when you need to. And you are a good person regardless of being good or bad in the eyes of others. And then we can go on a whole tangent about all or nothing thinking, right? We're not always good or always bad. We're a mix of the two. Sometimes we make mistakes too, and it's okay to make mistakes. Okay. And the last archetype is the mediator. And if you are the mediator, you're often referred to as the therapist of the family or group. You're the one in the middle of conflict, not by choice, but simply to help everyone find a solution. You are the problem solver at work and at home in order to maintain the status quo within the family or group dynamic that you're a part of. You display leadership qualities and your opinion is really respected. You tend to point out the good in everyone's intentions or perspective. You try and keep everyone positive. You don't really lean into the negative. And sometimes that ignores the negative that needs to be acknowledged, though. And you work really hard to get people to understand each other. You hate when two close friends are fighting. You really want them to resolve it. But this is also at home. If you have more than one child at home that's fighting with their sibling, you're working really hard to have them get along. And sometimes you can't control every relationship that's around you. You just can't. You need people to figure out their own relationships so they don't need you to resolve things. So although the skill set of a mediator can come in handy, it is not your responsibility to mediate all conflicts around you, not even between your kids. You want to give people, your kids, the skills to navigate their own conflicts, right? And you want to get out of the middle of a triangle and redirect people to each other. If it's your husband and mother are at each other's throats and they keep bringing you in the middle, stop being the mediator. Have them directly talk to each other and leave you out of it. That alone will take some stress away from you. Okay, so if you are curious about the type of people pleaser you are, I have a fun quiz for you to take. And the link to this quiz is in my show notes. And it's basically, what type of people pleaser are you? And you will get your results with a few suggestions on what you can do to help yourself with these traits. So take the quiz, DM me on Instagram. I'm at Thoughts from the Couch. Let me know what type you are. And feel free to say, hi, I listened to this episode, I took this quiz, I'm this type of people pleaser. Do you have a tip for me? What can I do about this now? Now that I know this about myself, what can I do? And I will be happy to help you. So thank you so much for tuning in. I am here for you on your journey for self-growth. Maybe you're in therapy, maybe you're not. Maybe you're like, yeah, I'm a people pleaser and I needed to tune in and understand this about myself. Or maybe you're like, oh, I had no idea I was a people pleaser. And wow, I see how my family has kind of influenced me to be this way. And I want to break this trait. So I'm proud of you for listening and taking a step towards healing. Thank you so much. Have a great day. I will catch you in 2 weeks for our next episode.
I hope you enjoyed listening to the information shared during this episode. For complimentary anxiety management tools, you can head over to my website, carinocounseling.com. Thank you so much for listening, and go enjoy all the moments your day has to offer you.